Model Test 10.
Part 3. Listening Comprehension.
Section A. Question 11. The tickets for that rock concert finally go on sale at 5 o'clock next Saturday.
As far as I know, anyone who wants one had better get it sooner than that. That's their first and only performance here.
What does the woman imply?
Question 12. I can't believe we have another lab report due so soon. Dr. White must think that we don't have any other classes.
I know just what you mean. I'll be really pressed to get it done.
What does the man mean?
Question 13. We should now move on to another item on the agenda.
Okay, but I still say we should take the matter up again in our next meeting.
What does the woman think of the man's suggestion? Question 14. I pretty much decided that I want to play on the soccer team next semester.
You are certainly good enough, but, well, didn't you just tell me about how you really need to concentrate on improving your grades next semester?
What does the woman imply? Question 15. I started reading that book you loaned me, but I'm having a tough time keeping up with the main characters. It's hard to remember them all.
I share your feeling. All I can say is to stick with it. Once you get halfway through, you won't want to put it down.
What does the woman imply? Question 16. Can you believe the way Larry spoke to his professor, complaining so directly and all?
Larry is not known for losing his cool. There are two sides to every story, and I'd be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
What does the woman mean? Question 17. You went to an art exhibition last week, didn't you? Was there much of an interest in those exhibits?
Was there? Wish I'd brought Dave along to explain the logic behind the pieces. You know, he's on top of all these things.
What does the woman think of Dave?
Question 18. Dr. Jones, I was wondering if you would consider giving me an extension on my paper. I just got back on campus yesterday from the hospital.
Well, under the circumstances, I can't see how I can deny your request.
What does Dr. Jones mean? Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Hi, Mandy. How's everything going?
Not too good, I suppose.
What happened?
Well, you know I moved out from Mrs. Henser's 9 months ago, and all along I forgot to inform the registration office to get my address changed. Guess what? The library sent 3 reminder notices on the fines incurred on the overdue books, and Mrs. Henser kept the letters without returning them to the senders.
How did you find out?
Well, I went to the registration to get my transcript, but they said there are some outstanding fines that I have to settle before they can release it.
Then just pay the fine and you can get your transcript. What's the big problem?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. But the fine came to $150, and that was a shock to me. I didn't expect it to come to that much.
Oh, that's a bit of a bite. Did you keep the book for long? That's the first time I've come across such a big fine on the library loan.
Guess what? I checked with the library, and they told me 3 books are still outstanding. They're from 8 months ago. I thought I'd returned them.
Are you sure you returned the books yourself, or did you get someone to do it?
Well, hard to recall now since it was so long ago. At that time I was holding 2 jobs and had to juggle with school. I really thought I had returned them.
Tell you what, why don't you go back to Mrs. Henser and see if the books are still there? Otherwise, you'll have to pay for the lost books, and I'm sure they will cost more than $150.
I guess that's the only choice I'm left with right now.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. Why didn't the woman receive the reminder? Question 20. What can we learn about the books the woman had borrowed? Question 21. What will the woman do next to settle the problem? Conversation 2. So, you're going to be writing for the school newspaper?
Yes, I'm excited about it. I'm thinking about journalism as a career.
Oh, congratulations. How do they decide whom to hire?
I have to send the writing sample. I used one of the essays I've written for the literature class. Then the editor assigned me a topic to write a short article about it.
What did you write about?
Actually, it was a lot of fun. I wrote about the students' play that has been performing this month.
Oh, I saw that play. The director is a friend of mine. It really caused a stir around here.
Yeah, I know. That's what I wrote about. People's reaction to it. It's really interesting.
Have you finished the article? Can I read it?
Sure. I just made a couple of copies. So you can have one.
Thanks. I wish I were a better writer. Working for the paper sounds like lots of fun.
Well, they're looking to add 1 or 2 photographers to the staff.
You're kidding. Maybe I'll go over and apply.
If you want, we could walk over to the newspaper office and I'll introduce you to the photography editor and some of the other photographers.
That will be terrific. But can we go tomorrow? I have to go to math class now, and if we go tomorrow, then I'll have time tonight to gather a portfolio of photographs to show them.
Sure, or maybe you should call and set up a time to meet tomorrow.
Good idea. I'll do that before I go to class.
All right. See you tomorrow. Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Question 23. What was the topic of the woman's article? Question 24. What job is the man going to apply for? Question 25. What will the woman do tomorrow? Section B.
Passage 1. Americans are suffering from a serious sleep deficit while also cutting back on leisure activities as they spend more time at work. A world that never goes to sleep offers many diverse activities, but encourages unhealthy and sometimes antisocial lifestyles for America's adults. Adults report spending more time at work, a shift that has had a profound impact on their personal lives. Adults report spending less time sleeping, engaging in social and leisure activities. Most Americans say they suffer from sleep problems, and when they go to sleep, many sleep alone, even if they are married. These are some of the key findings in the National Sleep Foundation's 2001 Sleep in America poll, which looks at the relationship between Americans' lifestyles, sleep habits, and sleep problems. Sleep deprivation continues to be widespread in America. According to the NSF poll, 63% of American adults do not get the recommended 8 hours of sleep needed for good health, safety, and optimum performance. In fact, nearly one-third report sleeping less than 7 hours each weeknight, though many adults say they try to sleep more on weekends. The poll shows good news and bad news. The good news is that many Americans say they don't want to give up any more sleep in spite of their exciting lives, and they would sleep more if they were convinced it would contribute to their quality of life. The bad news is far too many adults still sacrifice sleep, which is unhealthy and counterproductive. Is getting less sleep a trend in developed societies? Perhaps some of you callers may be able to shed some further light. Let's open up the phone lines at 5438-9282. And we have our first caller now. Please go ahead.
Questions 26 to 29 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What does the host attribute sleep deprivation to? Question 27. What proportion of American adults do not get enough sleep? Question 28. What is the good news about the results of the poll? Question 29. How will the host spend the remaining part of the show? Passage 2. We only have a few minutes left, so I'd like to go over a couple of points before we move on. Remember, although there are both horizontal and vertical movements of air, the term wind is applied only to horizontal movements, and more air is involved in horizontal movements than those vertical movements. And what causes these horizontal movements? Ultimately, it's the solar radiation, because the unequal heating of the Earth rather than the atmosphere produces horizontal differences in air pressure. These differences set winds in motion. Essentially, winds are nature's way of balancing uneven distribution of air pressure over the Earth. Secondly, let me repeat my answer to the question we had before about wind direction. Many people get confused by what they hear in weather forecasts. We talk about wind direction in terms of where the wind's coming from, not where it's blowing to. There is a good reason for this. To weather broadcasters, the origin of winds is more important than its destination. The wind's origin helps them predict the weather. Logically, in the Northern Hemisphere, a north wind tends to bring cold weather, and the south wind warm weather. I haven't forgotten vertical movements of air. We don't have time today to talk about them in depth. In our next class, then, I'll begin by discussing updraft and downdraft, and how they affect the weather. I suspect most of you can guess which of the two brings warm weather and which brings cold.
Questions 30 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 30. According to the speaker, how's the term wind defined? Question 31. Why does the speaker mention solar radiation? Question 32. What will the speaker probably discuss in the next class? Passage 3. About 20,000 whales have been slaughtered since a ban on commercial whaling was introduced in 1986, and the death toll is rising each year. Norway and Japan killed over 1,000 whales in 1999, and they plan to kill even more. The International Whaling Commission, IWC, has failed to stop the killing, and a compromise deal may relax the ban allowing coastal whaling, condemning many thousands more whales to a cruel death. In 1994, the IWC created a whale refuge in Antarctic waters, and many believe the battle to save the whales had been won. But Japan has ignored the refuge, and along with Norway, continues to define the whaling ban. As the environmental concerns increase, whaling is no longer the issue it was or deserves to be. With little public awareness of the increasing whale slaughter, there has been no pressure to stop it. Consequently, the political will to confront the whalers and enforce the whaling ban has slipped away. Commercial whaling has ruined whale populations worldwide, pushing the entire species to the brink of extinction. There is still great scientific uncertainty about the size and status of remaining whale populations. Whales are facing increasing threats to their survival, including increasing toxic pollution, massive overfishing, boat collisions, habitat loss, ozone exhaustion, and climate change. They need to be protected, not hunted. Commercial whaling is surprisingly cruel and unnecessary. It is morally indefensible. It should be condemned to history, to a time when, sadly, we knew no better.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33. What is the passage mainly about? Question 34. What's the current situation of whale populations? Question 35. What is the author's overall viewpoint at the end of the speech? Section C. Now listen to the passage.
It doesn't come as a surprise to you to realize that it makes no difference what you read or study if you can't remember it. You just waste your valuable time. Maybe you have already discovered some clever ways to keep yourself from forgetting. One dependable aid that does help you remember what you study is to have a specific purpose or reason for reading. You remember better what you read when you know why you're reading. Reading is not one single activity. At least two important processes go on at the same time. As you read, you take in ideas rapidly and accurately. But at the same time, you express your own ideas to yourself as you react to what you read. You have a kind of mental conversation with the author. If you expressed your ideas orally, they might sound like this. Yes, I agree. That's my opinion, too. Or, I thought that record was broken much earlier. I'd better check those dates. Or, but there are some other facts to be considered. You don't just sit there taking in ideas. You do something else, and that something else is very important. This additional process of thinking about what you read includes evaluating it, relating it to what you already know, and using it for your own purposes. In other words, a good reader is a critical reader. One part of critical reading, as you have discovered, is distinguishing between facts and opinions. Facts can be checked by evidence. Opinions are one's own personal reactions. Another part of critical reading is judging sources, and still another part is drawing accurate inferences.
Now the passage will be read again. It doesn't come as a surprise to you to realize that it makes no difference what you read or study if you can't remember it. You just waste your valuable time. Maybe you have already discovered some clever ways to keep yourself from forgetting. One dependable aid that does help you remember what you study is to have a specific purpose or reason for reading. You remember better what you read when you know why you're reading. Reading is not one single activity. At least two important processes go on at the same time. As you read, you take in ideas rapidly and accurately, but at the same time, you express your own ideas to yourself as you react to what you read. You have a kind of mental conversation with the author. If you expressed your ideas orally, they might sound like this. Yes, I agree. That's my opinion too. Or, I thought that record was broken much earlier. I'd better check those dates. Or, but there are some other facts to be considered. You don't just sit there taking in ideas. You do something else, and that something else is very important. This additional process of thinking about what you read includes evaluating it, relating it to what you already know, and using it for your own purposes. In other words, a good reader is a critical reader. One part of critical reading, as you have discovered, is distinguishing between facts and opinions. Facts can be checked by evidence. Opinions are one's own personal reactions. Another part of critical reading is judging sources, and still another part is drawing accurate inferences.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. It doesn't come as a surprise to you to realize that it makes no difference what you read or study if you can't remember it. You just waste your valuable time. Maybe you have already discovered some clever ways to keep yourself from forgetting. One dependable aid that does help you remember what you study is to have a specific purpose or reason for reading. You remember better what you read when you know why you're reading. Reading is not one single activity. At least two important processes go on at the same time. As you read, you take in ideas rapidly and accurately. But at the same time, you express your own ideas to yourself as you react to what you read. You have a kind of mental conversation with the author. If you expressed your ideas orally, they might sound like this. Yes, I agree. That's my opinion, too. Or, I thought that record was broken much earlier. I'd better check those dates. Or, but there are some other facts to be considered. You don't just sit there taking in ideas. You do something else, and that something else is very important. This additional process of thinking about what you read includes evaluating it, relating it to what you already know, and using it for your own purposes. In other words, a good reader is a critical reader. One part of critical reading, as you have discovered, is distinguishing between facts and opinions. Facts can be checked by evidence. Opinions are one's own personal reactions. Another part of critical reading is judging sources, and still another part is drawing accurate inferences.